overall, conceptually, they do look at risk for your specific area when they're underwriting particular coverages. And Sharon, do you have anything you want to add to that?
I would just say that, you know, we've had our consultant, Marsh, as our broker, and they're always looking out for our interests, and they're quizzing us throughout the year continually on our operations and what's going on, and offering risk management opportunities in webinars and whatnot. And we have been very diligent in looking for all those avenues when we do get opportunities to interact with the operations and, you know, what we need going forward to get our messaging across to them that we are always mitigating risk at the agency. So we look to our brokers. We have our insurance consultant, Gary Griffin, as well. We have a pretty well-rounded package going forward.
Mr. Chair, I have a question.
Go ahead, Jimmy.
So I was looking at this, and I'm looking at the at the table, and it's showing the, you know, that some of these are between 3 and 5% increases, but then other categories were seeing 15 to 50%, and then I compared it to your appendices that you added here on 98, page 98, and it appears that based on what some of these numbers you're showing, that we could be seeing an increase in insurance of 20 to 25% overall, is what I'm kind of getting from this. Does that sound right?
Oh, well, we'll really know once we get out there and they finish marketing and trying to get binders for these, Jeremy. So we won't have those final numbers till they actually go out and shop them and finish the negotiation on each one of these coverages. So some may be higher. I mean, some will maybe lower. I expect that their high range that they've stated, I don't expect to exceed that. And we're hopeful in some areas we'll be able to negotiate them down. So we're always looking for the best price. As the board knows, we spend a lot of time on this every year trying to save the company money and you know, negotiate the best price. Clearly, there are some areas that we do have some higher exposure. You know, the helipad issue is huge every year. We end up spending more time discussing the helipad issue than probably almost any other issue on here because they just don't understand the risk. I will say on the property side of things, they do send somebody up to tour our facilities and look at all of our property risk and do an analysis and make recommendations. So they're very typically very well informed about our projects.
All right. We'll wait and see. Thank you.
Yeah, sorry. Don't have a better answer for you there.
Yeah. Trey, I'd like to I took the information you sent us, and our manager here is on one of the Alaska board of directors for the insurance. He tells me that the cost, even though we're in Alaska, even though we don't have some of the risk that there is in the lower 48, that pool of money is done. There's only three companies in the world that do this, and the pool comes from them, and so we're just included with that. He comes back and says that your estimates are probably, if anything, they're either on or low of what's going to change.
It's always good to have a little cross check there. It was helpful to have Jack Davies on the board there too. Previously, he's obviously a lifetime insurance guy too. So appreciate that.
Thank you. Go ahead.
So I'm going to keep rolling here real quick nobody has any questions on that, because I know we're getting on short on time, and hopefully we can wrap this up before lunch so we can just be done with things. So anyway, I'll just note that, yeah, I'm still working on updating. Kay and I are working on that, updating the policies and practices within internal administrative policies. So that's a work in progress. We're trying to dedicate time every week and and trying to move that effort along, and hopefully we'll really have something to report back to the board. And with that, I'll conclude my CEO report and happy to answer any questions anybody might have.
Mr. Chair.
Go ahead, Robert. Hey, Trey, we kind of skipped over the hydrosite analysis. Do you want to comment on that?
Certainly. So I had a meeting, teleconference with Morton McMillan, owner of McMillan, or one of the owners, McMillan Jacobs. And he's assured me that he's going to have that wrapped up. It was waiting on his final review, and it kind of lost momentum there a little bit. So I circled back and lit a fire under him. And so that's moving forward. I should have that final draft ready to roll out to the board at a convenient time. And then the board can comment, you know, do we want to expand, or is there some gap in information the board would prefer us to go back and look at? I think we're going to have approximately maybe $300,000 left in our grant. So we do have a little money to go a little bit further. We could also look a little harder at any preferred projects you have if utilize that money and potentially reduce risk on a going forward decision, if you will. And so hopefully I'll have something here pretty shortly.
And a follow-up. So do you anticipate the board taking some action at their December meeting on this?
So when I see the final, get my eyes on it, I think the first thing is to have a discussion. I don't think there's a huge urgency to do that, to take immediate action. We may decide that maybe we want to get another year or two of hydraulic information, hydrology information, I should say, from a particular project, and before the board makes a decision. Or the board may decide, no, let's go ahead and at least initiate preliminary licensing to get the ball rolling and collect data as we go. That's going to be up to the board. So I think you guys will be better prepared to make that decision when I provide the information.
Thank you.
Mr.
Chair. Go ahead.
Jeremy here. This isn't a request for any information at this time, but I was kind of hoping that, you know, with COVID happening and our tourism industry being impacted, there's a lot of discussion within the community, at least here, and I've heard in other communities about diversifying business opportunities. We know that there's potential logging opportunities coming forward. There's been talks of mines and other activities coming forward that are going to all require, you know, energy and power to make those things happen. So I was wondering if at some point staff could give us a kind of a report on what they're seeing as potential opportunities coming forward. And I know that there's an election coming and there would be a big impact on those things due to the election, but it'd be kind of nice to kind of get an update on that as well at some point in the future. And the hydrosite analysis plays a big part of that. So, and then
go ahead, Jeremy.
I'm sorry. And then one other item is that if we could get some kind of an update on the, I know that we did a wind study or start to do some wind studies here in Ketchikan. If there's been any update on that as well.
Yeah, I'll just say preliminarily, without providing the numbers yet. You know, our wind assessments to date have essentially said that it's just too spotty. It's either blowing 100 miles an hour or there's not enough consistent wind to justify putting in a wind turbine. But we definitely want to, you know, gather that, wrap that up in a white paper or whatever. I think it's an important element. Obviously, we want to respond to interest from the various groups that, you know, say, well, why aren't you doing wind? Why aren't you doing solar? Why aren't you doing tidal and stuff? And I think that's an important part of the discussion. With regard to launching on a new project, you know, I'd be an advocate if the board decides that that they like a particular project and it makes sense, I think it would be a prudent move to start, initiate a licensing of a project, to get it prepped. That process takes several years, and that way we would be better prepared to address any load growth in the future.
Thank you.
Does that answer your question, Jeremy?
It does. I was just kind of, we were just talking about these topics, and so I thought I'd just mention it. I know obviously it's too soon to really come up with defined plans, but I just know it's on a lot of community members' minds about what are our other alternatives to tourism and some of the industry stuff that's been floating around quite a bit lately. So yes, it does answer my question. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Other questions for Jeremy, or for Jeremy, for Trey?
Mr. Chair, this is Lisa. I don't have a question or a comment, but it is our Harbor Master's last day today, and the second half of his farewell party is going on. So in the next few minutes, I will have to eject to make sure I can say goodbye to Greg Meisner before he leaves our employment today.
Okay, thank you. Trey, anything else on your report before I move on now?
No, I'm good. As always, if you ever have any question on any of these items or anything new, feel free to reach out to me. Got my email, my phone number, my cell phone.
Okay. Thank you. The staff reports, I'm going to do this by exception. I'm going to make the assumption that everybody has read those reports, and I'm going to ask if anybody has questions for either Ed or Robert or Clay to go ahead and ask. Okay. I don't hear any. Go ahead. There was somebody.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, I was just going to add that before you moved on to the next item there, I think Robert had prepared a couple of very brief videos for the board. They'll just all show some really cool stuff that we've got going on. It'll just take a couple of minutes if the board would like us to present those.
Okay. Go ahead, Robert. Let's take a look at
them
here.
Okay, so, and thank you, Trey and Mr. Chair. The first one I wanted to show everybody was as part of the station service project. This is kind of a fun 3D tour of the hydro facility, and it's a new way of using modern technology, and especially in these times when we can't do as many site visits, and it's challenging to get contractors on site, and especially considering the remoteness of our projects, new technologies can be used to really enhance the design. So can you guys see this?
Yeah, it looks great, Robert.
Okay. So this is Swan Lake here, and part of the station service project as done here a week ago, there's a lot of conduit cable trays, switch gear coming into this powerhouse. And so for design engineers that are not necessarily in Ketchikan or local, whenever they have a question, that it was always ask the staff, ask on-site engineers, go out and take a look. But with with modern technology, they have the ability to walk through the plant, see where existing equipment is staged, how it lies, how cable trays are routed. And with this, they could also do fine measurements for distances. But nice thing about it as well is some of the board members, obviously we try every year to try and get site visits, and this year especially has been a real challenge to do so because of COVID. But for new technologies, really you can understand, by looking through this, you can see here's our substation. What is it? What does a substation look like? You walk through the powerhouse, you can see our generators. For example, unit 2, unit 1. And you can go from floor to floor to floor and walk through the whole powerhouse. I just thought that was kind of a fun new technological project that I wanted to share with the board. I don't necessarily need to go through a whole walkthrough of the Swan Lake, but I was just going to stop here and ask if anyone has any questions on this.
Jeremy here, I have a question. Was this cool. Something that you guys did on your that you did, Robert, or is this something you had somebody do for us?
We, as part of the station service project, this was done for us. So, because of how great it turned out, I anticipate doing this for Tai'i as well. So, like, you're looking here at the Swan Lake control room. I think it's just a great way to, A, show the board what's there, B, to get a good historical documentation of the powerhouse for either design purposes or just historical. You know, in the future, that things change, and it'd be nice to have historical documentation on how it was laid out. And so
it's a great tool. I'll be contacting you offline with regard to this particular item.
Yeah, this is extremely helpful. Could this save some time in getting folks into the community to consult on items? Wow. Yeah, I'll be getting in touch as well.
So I'll just remind the board too, this was one of the strategic things that we came up with when we met is the board wanted staff to find ways to leverage technology to deal with the COVID and other issues. And this is a great example of what a huge cost savings if you don't have to fly somebody down from Anchorage and then fly them out in a plane and overnight them in a 3 or 4 day excursion when they could have just pulled this up and got a sense on the job, what it looked like. Pretty handy. And sounds like there's some pretty good applicability that other folks might be able to use it as well.
Absolutely. I think it'll definitely save on site visits and things of that nature. And it's a fraction of the cost of travel. So that was one of the first ones I wanted to also share with the board here. Obviously, we've spent quite a bit of money in the past on the Swan Lake dam raise, and this would be the first year we got to utilize it. And I think, Trey, did we end up sending out I seen it in one of the papers here. I think it was Sit News, an article on Swan Lake, and Bert Stedman's office put that out. Did any of the board members have an opportunity to see that article?
I think they've seen some pictures, but I don't think they've seen the whole, they certainly haven't seen the video. So, and to Robert's point there have been some pretty significant articles that we worked with Stedman's office to Senator Stedman's office to put together and inform, and it actually was just a really great write up. So,
Mr. Chairman,
go ahead, Bob.
So, Trey or Robert, where is this interactive deal viewed at on our site?
Right now, there's a link to it, Bob. And
okay.
One thing I didn't note in my board packet was that we are currently working on updated SEPA website. We're about, I'd say, 80% complete with that website. And so instead of integrating it into the existing website that really doesn't have any support anymore, we'll be putting it into the new website. But I will definitely have that at some point, a link to the Swan Lake page on the SEPA website.
So
can I interject? Just wanted to interject something real quick here. First of all, there's one thing that we need to do with FERC before we go post a link that essentially is a roadmap to our whole power plant. And that has to do with critical infrastructure. Okay. And so we need to review that before we actually put this out. Open to the web.
Thanks, Trey. I was going to mention that. That's definitely going to have to be approved.
Yeah, agreed. And cybersecurity. So there will be sections of that powerhouse that we can't allow the public to see, especially for cybersecurity and then for, like mentioned, Trey mentioned, for FERC purposes.
Yeah. And Bob, I interrupted you. I wanted to make sure you got back in there. Sorry.
Well, thank you. I was just wondering how this gets updated as things change, things are rerouted. I know we got battery bank stuff and all that kind of stuff. So is that something that we do from on site, or is that something we have to invite a contractor in to redo?
Right now, it's we have a contractor doing it, but we could look into doing it on site.
I think it essentially consists of a particular type of camera on a tripod, and you set it in intervals, and then there's a program that stitches those together that allows you to fly through it. It's very similar to what they're using for realtor walkthroughs on houses now.
Okay. Okay.
We may end up just buying the equipment because we have so many different locations we could use it at.
Agreed. Substations, from substations to the dam to even the now, like, for example, we're using or will be using 360 cameras on the lines, transmission lines, so you can pause at any time and take a look around. So,
or member utility facilities by any chance?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Just a suggestion. That'd be quite a
service. Moving on to the next one. Can everybody see the video that's on the screen at this point?
Yes.
Okay, so this is the dam raise project, and let me just annotate here for new board members that haven't seen some of these pictures. This, in this area, this is what we call the flash forge, and these flash forge essentially at the very top of them is 17 feet above the original spill level. So the original spill is right here in between this part of the dam and this part, and this is what we call an OG spill. So 17 feet taller is what the flash boards are at, and our board approved operations plan has us opening the gate to maintain lake levels at about 5 feet below the top of this. That is a risk mitigation factor. So at elevation 342 is where we've been operating spill. But this, as I mentioned, this would be the first opportunity that we got to spill the lake at this high of a lake level and do it in a controlled manner, utilizing our existing SCADA systems, HMIs, and demonstrating the hydraulic capacity of the design. So let's see here, push play here.
So Robert, I'd say the HMIs are the human machine interface. It's essentially a computer. Just for people that are not familiar with that acronym.
Yep, that's correct. It's how the operator interacts with the programmable logic controllers. So here you can see as we open the gate, the amount of spill that occurs. And this is maybe 6 inches of opening here. And it's continuing to go up, you know, about a foot now. And this gate can open all the way up until about... it can open up 16 feet is what it can open. So kind of a fun, this is the SEPA drone here that we're seeing here taking this video footage. So putting that to use is also a good thing.
Yeah. Robert, what do you think we're spilling now off the reservoir?
So spill is a function of cubic feet per second over the amount of time. So, for example, when we have rain events, we typically will hit, because the gate is modulating, opening and closing to try and maintain that lake level, we get upwards of 3,500 cubic feet per second for hours, and then it'll modulate down and slowly close that gate and then maintain, just kind of keep a nice, slow, steady stream out of the gate to maintain that elevation 342 in between smaller inflow periods and larger influx of inflows. So, you know, cubic feet wise, I'd have to get you a number there, Bob, but it's been probably billions. So that's kind of a hard number to really wrap your mind around.
I could understand that. When I was, so do then that modulate in between day and night? based on the inflow into that?
Correct. It's it says I want to maintain elevation 342. If a rain event starts causing that elevation to go up to 342.1, it opens that gate a little bit to try and maintain that. If it keeps going up, it opens up the gate more. And then at 342.3, that gate would be fully open, and trying to push it back down to 342. So it's kind of a proportional algorithm that maintains lake level.
Thank you.
So just a couple more here. Let me see if I can share this. Can you see this one that's on there now?
Yep.
Perfect. This is another aerial. You can really see a close up of the flashboard system there with spilled. The lake at this point was at elevation 342, and we brought the gate up above it so you can see full spill. Really nice to see what we call laminar flow, and that is how smooth it is goes over the gate. You know, surprisingly to all of us that were there, that because it is so laminar, it wasn't really, it didn't shake nothing. It wasn't really destructive as we thought it would be. As much water that we were spilling over, you know, you thought you would feel a lot of vibration. You'd feel that it was super, super exciting. But once it leaving the gate itself, it was just really smooth, calm, I think a very good design. And then to see if this is, can you guys see this one? This one's showing the stream here. So this is at full spill. This is the stream that's normally dry. So there is no water typically running through this unless we are spilling. So during this scenario, you can see now what it looks like at 342, elevation 342 with a full open spill. What kind of flows we're actually we're seeing in the stream here?
So and you're essentially flying the route from the powerhouse up to the dam.
Correct. This is actually from the salt water all the way up to the dam. So you can see here as we approach the dam, the actual spill gives you a little better perspective on the impressiveness of this.
Robert, did that, when you started dumping out of there, did that go from start with turbulent flow and then change to laminar, or what did it do?
No, it was very laminar the whole time. So let me go back to the first spill here. There wasn't really much turbulent flow. Right when it cracks, there was a little bit, but that is a function of the operation, but it was pretty much laminar the whole way up this. So on the surface, it's hard to tell because you do have, let me get the, you do have on the side, you do have it spilling out the cracks of the gate, but it still felt, you know, most of the entire flow was all laminar with the exception of that small amount, which is probably 1-2% of the total spill that was being spilled out the sides of it. So it makes it look turbulent here, but really it was fairly laminar throughout the whole opening.
Thank you.
Yep. So that's kind of my show and tell for today. Any questions or anything else you guys want to see?
I had a quick question. Jeremy here.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead, Jeremy.
Were you guys able to get any aerial footage and video of Tyee spill?
Yes, I've got some yesterday, or not, was it yesterday? Yesterday or the day before when we flew up and worked on the gatehouse, we got some footage of the spill. So I could share that with you. It's on my phone, though.
Yeah, no worries. I'm just curious what that was looking like with the it's been up there at 1400, spilling quite a bit. So,
yeah. Okay, that's all I have.
Anything to add to that, Trey?
No, I think it's great to have some of these visual aids. I think it helps the board kind of really see what's going out in the field a little bit. You know, I enjoyed going out to the first spill event, and as Robert noted, it was very smooth, which was reassuring that, you know, we don't have an issue there that, you know, would potentially be a failure mode analysis or a failure mode in the future. But not just super smooth, and for the most part, the actual gate opening typically stays below the lake elevation, so which helps prevent debris migrating into there and other things. So really satisfied with it.
I apologize. I got one more quick question.
Go ahead, Jeremy.
You know, we just had the outage here, and you guys were doing some fantastic line work with the helicopter here, marker balls and such. Did you guys capture and document a record of that via video or other than pictures here?
I'll let Clay speak on that. I wasn't part of that project.
Clay, you on the line? You're going to have to unmute if you're on, Clay.
There we go. I'm sorry. What was the question again?
You know, Robert's shown a lot of these videos of some of the other projects going on here, and I was curious if we got any good video and recorded or documented the line work with the helicopter work. That's a pretty interesting work. I know it was new to the region here, and so I was just curious on what kind of documentation we had for that.
I was able to catch a little bit on my iPhone, but it's kind of problematic, especially with helicopter work and stuff. With safety spaces and everything, you can't necessarily send a drone up to capture those events. And then carrying a GoPro along with the line crew there. The previous marker ball crew that did that work, one of them did carry a GoPro, but this crew did not. It was interesting, but most of what I have as far as documentation is from a distance, and it's very, very difficult to make out the detail on that. But anyway, maybe we can come up with a little better camera for that sometime in the future. But yeah, for sure, that was it was really nice having a local crew be able to provide that support this year with Temsco stepping up and doing that work for us, rather than having an outfit come all the way from Idaho or Montana and importing a pilot all the way from New Zealand. It was really nice to have an Alaska-based crew come in and do this work for us this year. So anyway.
Thank you.
Thanks, Clay. Anything else there? And Trey, thanks for bringing that back up and including this in it.
So, through the chair.
Go ahead, Bob.
So, Trey, I know that we're into the housing project at Swan Lake, and it sounds like that's going very well, and we got some stuff on site. And as we talk about R&R and maintenance and stuff like that, you and I had a conversation a little bit about the bunkhouse area. Could you just give us a little bit of a insight so that nothing comes as a surprise at a later date?
Sure, certainly. Thanks for the opportunity to speak on that particular issue. When I was out at the site here recently, I did an inspection of the bunkhouse, and I didn't need to do one. Ed had already showed me some pictures, and essentially the bunkhouse is at end of life. You can push your hand through some of the walls from the outside. It needs new doors, windows, carpet, cabinets, walls. We anticipate bringing a project forward to the board during the budget process for consideration of alternatives to replace the bunkhouse. Whether that includes something similar to the building that we just did out there, I kind of envisioned something similar to that, and that construction method, it seemed to work pretty well. It was fairly easy to deploy in a short period of time with the least disruption. and you know, and then the facility, the best parts, is their construction in a controlled environment. So definitely we've got some issues there. We haven't had a chance to fully vet the options yet, but we hope to do that over the course of the as we lead up to budget. You know, we could replace one of the other existing houses and just put another structure on that, or we could tear down the bunkhouse and try to fit something onto that existing foundation. So we got some options there, and look forward to pushing that out to the board and letting them see that. Taking this opportunity too, Bob, on just a very similar issue. You know, we still have the SEPA office issue that we're going to need to address. As some of you may recall, during our last office renewal here, we did tell them that we anticipate to be vacating our current office lease. And we pushed that out a couple of years to allow a little time to build an office. But so the board's going to have to come to terms with that at some point, and we'll need to get rolling on that. I have reached back to Tim Whiteley that was doing the original design, and to see, you know, are there ways that we can lower the cost, overall cost of that project. And, you know, realistically for an office building, you're going to be at $2.5 to $3.5 million probably. But you know, it's a capital investment. You're not renting, you're building up an asset over time. So we hope to have more to bring to the board on that particular issue as well.
Thank you for that, Trey. And through the chair, I know that we had talked about that in the past, and, if we get, as we move through the financing options for the, cable replacement, if there are advantages to tying in the building to a low interest bond rate, it would make some sense to me to keep that under one umbrella. And so I think as we look at the potentially $11-12 million or whatever it is that we have for the subsea, that we make sure to consider the approach of maybe funding this building out of that also.
Thank you, Bob. Other comments from board members on it? Hearing none, I'll move to an item on the next meeting dates, and I think that's probably the place for your motion, Bob.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So I would move at this time that our proposed meeting date of December 10th and the type of meeting we're going to have be a Zoom meeting similar to what we're having for our regular board meetings this month.
Thank you. Is there a second?
If it's an order, I'll second. I'll second.
Jeremy, thank you. Okay, it's been moved and seconded. And with that, Sharon, to do the December meeting remotely, would you call Roland on it, Sharon, please?
Was there any other discussion?
Mr. Chair, discussion?
Okay, I'm sorry. Steve, go ahead.
No, just point of order. We need to have discussion and then move to roll.
You're right. Do you have any other comments, though, would you like to offer?
No, sir. Made them already.
Thank you. Okay. Any other discussion? Hearing none, Sharon, would you please call the roll?
I will. Prysanka?
Yes.
Bynum?
Yes.
Sievertson?
Yes.
Larson?
No.
And Lynn?
Yes. Okay.
Thank you.
I think we have the motion carries. And with that, the meeting will be done remotely. And with that, I'll go to director's comments. And let me start with Steve, if I might.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Apologize for being tardy this morning. Good meeting, and I appreciate all of the work again that the staff are doing. One of the things that I was musing on is how we're looking at adding another staff member, and how few staff we've added since my involvement with the organization is just amazing. And so my compliments to Trey and to everyone who gets it done with such few people. I think it makes a lot of sense where we're heading with that new position, but I really appreciate the work that everybody's doing. I know these are trying times, and hopefully we'll be able to have a meeting next December in person and share a cocktail together at the party.
Thank you, Steve. Jeremy?
Thank you, sir. I would like to say, you know, I appreciate staff taking the time to put together the staff reports. I know that it takes time to put those together and to make sure that they're as detailed as they are. So I want to say thank you for that. And I just also wanted to say, from my perspective, I appreciate all the hard work you guys have put in over the past year, and then specifically for the outage that we're currently just finishing up and here in this next week. I look forward to seeing some additional information from as the results from the outage. I just iterate that I support you guys and your efforts and what you need to do to get the job done. We do have limited staff, so you guys need tools, or you need the additional staff that we're adding. What you guys need to get the job done, I support. So, you know, thank you for letting us, keeping us informed about what those needs are. And just want to say good job, guys. I really thought that this was a really great packet that we got this time. A lot of detailed information, and looking forward to our meeting in December. A little disappointed that we're obviously not going to be able to do that in person, but we will get there back to that at some point soon. So thank you very much.
Carl Hagerman.
Yeah, thanks, Bob. Echoing Jeremy's comments, great job from Trey and staff, as usual. You know, you're spoiling us. We're getting a lot of really good information from you, and it's appreciated very much. Also want to touch on, again, on the work that everyone's done on the marine cable issue, and really happy that that's moving forward. Looking forward to seeing that project come to completion next spring. And I understand that the work that you did with the contractor in negotiating the cost of that saved the agency a couple million dollars. So definitely appreciate that. So thank you very much.
Tor, I'll go to you.
Yeah, I'll start with, sorry I missed the last two special board meetings, but summertime, busy time for me. And I just want to state that I enjoy being on this board with all of you. It seems interesting to hear everyone's ideas and thoughts. So always come away with a new perspective, seems like. I understand. I think the need to do the next meeting Zoom, and yeah, I am bummed. I enjoyed the meeting and getting to know you all in Seattle a little bit, but it would have been great to get together more and see your communities. But yeah, hopefully another chance.
Thank you. Now we have to go to the Roberts. Robert Larson.
Thank you, Bob. So I got two things. One is that I'm glad that we're formalizing our expectations regarding the performance of the CEO and making that transparent and easy for the board and easy for Trey to just deal with and understand, have a common on, you know, expectations. So I'm glad that that's all behind us now, and we're going to have a document to work from. The other thing I'm glad about is to see that the Swan Lake Dam function the way it was designed. It's been a long time in coming is regarding making those plans and spending the money and having it sitting there with no water in it, and now we've got water and it's working. So, I mean, that's really quite exciting. So, yeah, thanks for everybody making that work.
Thank you. Bob.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So it's amazing what we can get done when we're not facing a drought and worrying about how we're going to manage that part of the operation. I am concerned, you know, as we continue on into the winter months, what the economy in our local communities is going to look like, what the aging reports for people that are behind in their bills are not capable of paying them, and what may happen if we run out of CARES Act money. We're trying in the local communities to adjust to that as best as we can. But as we talk about our projects and future stuff, we need to, you know, stay current on what's happening in our local communities. I think it's going to get a little more difficult for some people this winter. The good thing is we're going to have power to supply, and it looks like, and we're not going to have to put, hopefully, diesel surcharges in it. So, great meeting, a lot of information. I appreciate the updates and the participation from all of our board members in their own perspectives. So thank you again. That's all I have.
Thank you, Bob. I would say the same thing. I very much appreciate the participation in the dialogue back and forth between all folks. The staff reports, I'm always amazed at what's in those staff reports. I get to read them, and then every once in a while I have to go back and read it again. You know, holy mackerel, they did that? How'd they get that out of there, you know, type of a thing. With that, I'm back to Bob's. My concern is also on a local standpoint is that getting through this winter is going to be kind of a, I don't know if I'd say tough, but it's going to be unusual. Hopefully we don't have the resurgence of the COVID that we had. But then the budgets are going to be, as Carl Amelon said earlier, that's going to be much of a concern here in all the communities. So with that said, I think we got to be careful how we lay out where we want to go and what we want to do, not do it without some planning and some layout over quite a few months of why the need is and where we want to go. And that's all I've got. Trey, I'll let you have last word here.
Oh, thanks, Mr. Chair. I definitely appreciate the board's input on these items. It helps us craft our strategy to execute. And I'll just also a big thanks to the staff. This last maintenance outage period, planned maintenance outage period, was challenging due to potential weather, and we had some very challenging projects, up at there at the intake at Tyee, very challenging conditions, and we had a nice little weather window that helped us out miraculously. And I really do appreciate the member utilities and their support throughout that whole effort. So kudos to staff and our member utilities for working together very well during the outage, I thought. So thank you.
Thank you. And with that, I think we've concluded the meeting. And thank you for all your work, Sharon.
Thank you, Sharon. Mr. Lynn, I have a question for you before you get off. It's just outside of the meeting. I have a question for you.
All right.
Mr. Chair, I'd move that we adjourn.
Okay. Is there a second on that?
Second.
Okay. Been moved and seconded, and all those in favor, I'm going to go that way. Just say aye.
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 Thank you.
Thanks, everyone.